that his wounds paid your ransom.
Amen.
Let's stand together, if you're able, find John chapter 21. Stand and find John 21. We're going to pray, and then we'll read our text together tonight. As we continue to learn about those times when Jesus appeared to many after his resurrection, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We know the Lord is risen indeed. He appeared to them. We have those eyewitness accounts, and so we're going to learn about another one of those tonight. Let's pray, and then we'll read together. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. It is a beautiful day, and we're grateful. Lord, our hearts are heavy for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling right now. Lord, we pray that you'll give healing. We pray that you'll give help and strength and grace. And Lord, we're thankful for answered prayers that we see in the room tonight. And we just ask that you'll continue to help. Lord, we are nothing without you. We can do nothing without you. And we just pray for you to help us to die to ourselves and be filled with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd help me as I present the word of God tonight, that you'd speak through me and use me, Lord, and that your word would go forth with the power of the Spirit tonight. I pray you convict hearts. Anyone among us or watching online who's never been born again, we pray for them to come to repentance and faith in Christ alone tonight. They'd be saved tonight. And Lord, for other decisions to be made for you according to your will, Lord, just help us to be real disciples following you. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless your word now. Help us to hear it as it is in truth, the word of God. We pray you'll help us in Jesus' name. Amen. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered to ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Please be seated. I want to recap very quickly before we get to this account, how that we saw how Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene. That was the first recorded appearance. And then the second recorded appearance was to the other women who had come to the tomb. The third was to a disciple named Cleopas and another disciple on the road to Emmaus. And then the fourth appearance was to the disciples in the upper room. We saw that in John 20, 19 to 25. Now, I believe that Jesus, after that, appeared to over 500 brethren at once, which was after he appeared to the 12, then to James, and then to all of the apostles. And you can debate that and study that out and show me later why I'm wrong if you see something. But the fifth recorded appearance was to the disciples in the upper room the week later, after 8 days. That's Sunday to Sunday. And so he's appeared to the disciples twice. And what we're going to study tonight is the third recorded appearance to the disciples. And you see that in verse 14 in our text here tonight. He says, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. And so in particular to those of the 12. And so study that out, dig into it. But this is the way I think the timeline works out best when you try to harmonize the gospels. So back at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This sea is known as Tiberias, it's known as Gennesaret, and it's also known as Galilee. So when you read those three different names, just like a lot of places around here have different names that places go by, that sea was named had different names, known by different names. So Tiberias is Galilee. And so Jesus appeared to them. He showed himself to them. And this is how it went. On this wise, this is how it happened. There were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee. Who is that? James and John. And then two other disciples that aren't named here. And Simon says, I'm going fishing. And these other six brothers say, we're going to go with you. Now, I'm going to give you some of my opinion. I always try to let you know when it's my opinion. I've heard some really great preaching on John 21, and some speculation was put forth that what happened was these brothers lost faith, and Jesus was dead, and they had lost their faith, and so they had gone back to their old lifestyle. They had abandoned following Jesus. I'm going to put forth to you tonight that that wasn't the case at all. Jesus had already appeared to them twice before this. They'd seen the risen Savior. They'd seen him alive. He had said, "Come touch my hands, come touch my side." And so it's my opinion that they didn't go fishing because they were leaving following Jesus, but rather because they needed to eat. Just my opinion. So you can study that out if you want to. But they said, "We're going to go fishing. We're going to go fishing." And so they went. You might say that it was probably a good thing for them to continue to work. We know that Peter had a family, and maybe by this time some others had other people that they were responsible for. We know that John was responsible for Jesus' mother, and so they had to be industrious. They had to be busy. They had to do work. And so, by the way, that's a biblical concept.
Amen.
You can read about it in your Bible. It says if you don't work, you don't. So it's my opinion that they went fishing because they needed to work. But let me ask you if this ever happened to you. Any of you guys, ladies or men, ever go fishing at nighttime? Nighttime fishing? Yeah. Good fishing at night, right?
Amen.
And it's my understanding that in those days, that's usually when they often went fishing. They went fishing at night back then, like a lot of people go fishing today, at night. And have any of you gone fishing at night and caught nothing?
Amen.
Has that ever happened to you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what happens to me almost every time I go fishing. I catch nothing. And I don't know about you. Some of you people really enjoy fishing. I don't like fishing. I don't. I like catching. Some of you enjoy fishing. I enjoy catching. And so I'm going to say that these guys whose livelihood was built on fishing, they probably didn't like fishing much either, but they really enjoyed catching. But they had fished all night, and they hadn't caught anything. But look at verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Have we seen this before?
Amen.
Jesus, after his resurrection, appears to disciples. He did with Mary in the garden. She saw him, but she didn't recognize him. She didn't know it was him. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus, but they didn't know it was him until he broke bread with them. And so now again, Jesus comes to them, but they don't know that it's him. He's standing on the shore. They've been fishing probably all night. And so now the morning comes. They see a man standing on the shore. Verse 5 says, Jesus saith unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, can you imagine why John would recognize that this was the Lord? Hold your place here in chapter 21 and find Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. So we're gonna go back in time. If this was a movie, it would be one of those flashbacks. You guys know what flashbacks are, right? Okay. I'm trying, guys. Screen wipe. Flashback. Okay. All right. Here we go. Chapter 5, verse 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. What lake is that? Galilee, Tiberias, same place, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So Jesus comes, lots of people, he gets in the boat, gets out a little bit from land, so the people are standing on the shore. Jesus sits down on the boat and preaches to them. It was like a natural amphitheater. Jesus' voice carrying across the water to the shore, and it was an awesome thing. So Jesus sits down and teaches for a while. We don't know how long, but he teaches until he's done. Now that says, when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Sound familiar? We have toiled all night and have taken up. We have thrown out the net. We have drawn it in. We have thrown out the net. We have drawn it in. We've done that all night long, and we haven't caught anything. We've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.
Amen.
By the way, just as a side note, this is the best way to live your life.
Amen.
You think you know best? You think you know what you've done? You think you know what you've tried? But when God says, do this, it's best to just say, at your word,
Amen.
I'll do this. Doesn't make sense to me. I can't reason out why I would do that. I'm really tired. I'm a little bit grumpy, but I'm going to do what you said to do.
Amen.
Amen. Is that a good way to live?
Amen.
Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So fast forward back to our text tonight. This has been at least a year and a half before, maybe longer, but somewhere in that neighborhood, around a year and a half before this event happened that we just went back to in Luke. And now it's all this time later. They have walked with Jesus. They have seen Jesus. They heard Jesus. They saw Jesus dead. They saw him buried. They have seen the risen Savior. Two times before this, the group has seen the Lord two times before this, and now this man standing on the shore, they say, we haven't caught anything all night. He says, cast on the right side of the ship, and they do it. And I'm just thinking, you know, last time, there was a guy that said, cast on the other side of the ship. That worked out really well, so we're going to try that, right? And so they bring in this massive haul of fishes. They were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. That's chapter 21, verse 6, John 21, 6. Now, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, I believe that to be John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Now, has anybody else ever read that and been a little bit weirded out by Peter being naked? Just anybody else? Didn't bother none of y'all, okay? Bothers me a little bit. Seems a little strange. But you got to understand in biblical terms that when somebody's naked, it just means they didn't have their outer garment on. So they wore layers, just like a lot of people in the Middle East still wear layers today. And to not have your outer garment on, you were considered to be naked. So it was a layered thing. And when you didn't have your outer coat on, that was naked. So he throws on his coat, jumps in the water to swim to the shore. Isn't that just like Peter? I ain't got time for rowing. I'm going. And that's the way he lived his life. So the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, and as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with them. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So friends, we have once again Jesus coming and Jesus providing for his disciples. Once again, Jesus showing his great power to just say, cast on the other side and you'll find. And they did. So they drag these fish to shore. They count them, 153 of them. And it was so much that John makes note of it, that it's shocking that they had that many fish and the net didn't break. So that tells you that normally if you had that many fish, probably much less fish than that could break the net. And yet God miraculously provided for them to have this great haul of fish. And so here the Lord is. Here the Lord is. And what a beautiful thing. The Lord, they worked all night, didn't catch anything. Jesus provides this miraculous catch. And then what does he say? Come and dine. He's got breakfast ready for them. He's got breakfast all ready for them. And they get to sit down and eat breakfast with the Lord. Now, there are a lot of applications that we can make from this. I just let me point out just a couple really simple things. One, we remember Jesus came to us. This is the third time he came to them. He comes to us. If he doesn't take that first step, we have no chance of coming to him. But he comes to us. Two, every example we look at in the scriptures, things are going to go better for you when you do what Jesus says. And things are going to go poorly for you when you don't do what Jesus says. And Jesus, after all that he had been through and after all that he had done for them and after all of their rebellion and fear and lack of faith, he still wants to sit down and dine with them.
Amen.
He still has a desire to break bread with them. And I can't even imagine what a special breakfast that was. Can you imagine? I mean, some of you have done that. You fished all night. You enjoy that. Some of you have worked all night. But just to be able to sit down around a fire with Jesus and eat together, I can't even imagine how wonderful that was. But, you know, we have the opportunity spiritually to do the same thing every day. We have the opportunity to sit down and break bread with the Lord every day. Because he's promised. Because he came for us. He's promised that he'll never leave us or forsake us.
Amen.
He's promised that if we confess our faults, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He's promised that if we'll sit down with him, if we're open his word, that he'll speak to us.
Amen.
And so you can sit down and break bread with Jesus every single day. Now we have this section following, verses 15 to 19. I want to take a second to walk through that. Verse 15 says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. So we already know that the Lord has singled out Peter. We already know that Peter had boasted that I'll never forsake you. And Jesus had prophesied, you'll deny me three times before the rooster crows twice. And we know that that's exactly what happened. But after his resurrection, Jesus has already singled out Peter. Go tell my disciples and Peter that I'm risen and I'll meet them in Galilee. Go tell Peter that I'm going to meet them in Galilee. So he is letting Peter know that because he has repented, remember, he went out and wept bitterly after he saw Jesus that morning. He denied him. Jesus has extended the olive branch, if you will. Jesus has said, Peter, I love you and I'm going to still use you. And we have this great account here. Now, the first question, do you love me? We've studied this before. In case you've forgotten, or maybe you've never heard it before, if we read it in the English, we miss a little bit of detail here that I think is really important. If we go back to verse 15, When the Lord says the first time, the first question is, do you love me? This is that godly love, agapeo. This is that charitable, sacrificial love. And he says, do you love me more than these? Now, some people would say it means that, Peter, do you love me more than these things? Do you love me more than the boats? Do you love me more than the nets? Do you love me more than the fishes? But I am persuaded that Jesus wasn't talking about boats, nets, and fishes at all. I believe the Lord was asking him if he loved him more than the other disciples loved him. I'm going to tell you why. Because when Jesus said, all of you will forsake me and all of you will flee, he said, all of them might leave you. Everyone else might forsake you, Lord, but I would never forsake you. I would never deny you. I would die for you. Right? So he was boasting that he loved the Lord more than other people did. And now the Lord, after everything he's gone through, Peter's been changed.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said, right? Satan has desired you that he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen the brethren.
Amen.
And so now he's been through that.
Amen.
And now the Lord says, do you love me more than these other people do? That's what I think he's saying. He was boasting before his denial, and now the Lord says, do you love me more than these? Peter's response is, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But Peter doesn't use the same word for love Jesus does. Jesus used the word agape, that godly love. Peter uses the Greek word phileo, that brotherly love. So do you love me with that sacrificial, charitable love? Peter says, Lord, you know I love you in a brotherly love. Okay? Then the first command, feed or pasture my lambs, my little sheep. So he says, feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Feed them. Take them to pasture. Okay? How does a shepherd normally feed sheep? Yeah, he leads them, right, to where the grass is.
Amen.
He leads them beside the still waters. He leads them to green pastures. That's how the shepherd feeds a sheep. He doesn't, it's a little different than other animals. We get this idea in our mind, or you get a feed the cow, sometimes you got to go out and you got to put feed in the trough, right? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about lead them out into green pastures. So that's what he's saying. The second question in verse 16, the Lord asked the same thing. Do you agapeo me? Do you have that godly, charitable, sacrificial love for me? And he responds the second time. Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. You know that I have brotherly love towards you. So it's the same. And then the second command the Lord gives is feed, and this is a different word. This means to shepherd my sheep. So first is feed them, take them to pasture. The second one is to shepherd them, or we would say pastor them. Shepherd my sheep. This is the word we get for pastor. And so he says, shepherd my sheep. Now, the third time, Jesus asked the question differently the third time. Do you phileo me? So the first time, do you agapeo me? Do you have a agape love for me? The second time, do you have agape love for me? And the third time, he says, do you phileo me? Do you have brotherly love for me? And to me, it seems like it would be like this. Do you love me with everything in your heart? Do you love me with everything in your heart? Do you even like me? It diminishes. So now the Lord's asking a different question. And so the response this third time, because he's grieved that the Lord asks him the third time, and I think he's grieved because the Lord asked the way he does, and he says, you know that I phileo you. I have a brotherly love for you. And so then he says, one last time, feed, pasture my sheep. So my little sheep, shepherd my sheep, my full-grown sheep, and then feed my full-grown sheep. And Peter, God was going to use him. The Lord had set him aside to use him in a mighty way in the infancy of the church. I mean, you turn the page and go to Acts, in the first many chapters of Acts. Who was the leader at Jerusalem? Who was the one that we get to see the great message they preached at Pentecost? Who was it that God used to lead out among the apostles in the early days of the church? And so the church was in its infancy. They were little lambs, and he was supposed to feed them and shepherd them and help them to grow to become full-grown sheep that he could feed and lead and pasture. So that's the picture. That's the picture that we get. And then the Lord gives this prophecy of a glorifying death. He says, when you were young, you got dressed, you went where you wanted to, but when you're old, you'll reach out your hands and someone else will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. And he signified the way that he died. History tells us, Fox's Book of Martyrs tells us, that Peter was crucified. But when they led him away to be crucified, he requested to be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to die the way that his master had died. And as far as we know in history, that's exactly what happened. He would be crucified. He would be crucified upside down because of his faith in Christ. And the last command that he gives, the last command that he gives Peter is the first command that he gave Peter. Follow me. Follow me. So what do we do today? Well, we serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
And what does he want us to do? He wants us to follow him.
Amen.
And when we follow him, he'll make us fishers of men. And while we could toil on our own all night long and catch nothing, but when we are obedient to the Lord Jesus, we're going to see results. When we plant and we water, God gives the increase. And so we follow him. We follow him. Now, just to round it out here, let's finish out down to verse 25. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You guys get that? Peter's like, what about John? Who was John? Well, he was the one that laid his head on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper, at the Passover, and at the institution of the Lord's Supper. What about, Peter's like, what about him? And the Lord says, Peter, if I want John to live until I come again, what is that to you? You just follow me. Okay? Well, maybe you've heard it like this. Maybe you had a teacher or a parent say it like this to you. Mind your own business. I can still hear Mrs. Craig in kindergarten telling me, mind your own business. I was always worried about everybody else's business. And the disciples are no different. They're always worried about everybody else's business. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? What about this one? What about, Lord, I'm going to have to die? I'm going to have to die a bad death? What about him? Is he going to have to die too? You don't worry about that. You just follow me. And of course, everybody took what Jesus said and misapplied it and twisted it and got all mixed up because the Lord didn't say he's not going to die. He just said that if I keep him alive until I come again, it doesn't matter to you. Verse 24, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. John says, I wrote all these things, my testimony is true, and Jesus did a whole lot more than just this, but we couldn't fit all the books about Jesus into the whole world if it was all written down. Glory to God. All right, now find Matthew 28. And I want to show you the seventh recorded appearance to the 11 in Galilee. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, or go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, look, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hold your place at Matthew 28. Flip over to Mark 16, 19. Hold your place there at Matthew 28. Flip over to Mark 16, 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And then Luke 24, verse 50. Luke 24, 50. So we got Matthew 28, 16, Mark 16, 19, Luke 24, 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And then we go to Acts chapter 1, back to where we began a couple of weeks ago. Acts 1, verse 3. Acts 1, verse 3. He says, To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. That's it. Jesus, for 40 days, had different appearances to different ones. We saw from Mary Magdalene to the other women who came to the tomb, Joanna, Mary, the other Mary, several others that aren't named. Then we see him appearing to Peter at some point, to James at some point, the two on the road to Emmaus, over 500 brethren at one time somewhere along the way, to the disciples in the upper room 1 week, and again next week, and then at the Sea of Galilee, and then up in the mountain at Galilee, and then from Mount Olives, the Mount of Olives, he ascended into heaven. So we have all these different accounts, and they're sprinkled through the Gospels. Sometimes it's really hard to figure out which one happened first and in what order they are. I've presented to you kind of the best way I know how. I know this: our Savior was crucified for our sins, just like the Scripture said he would be, that he would be bruised for our iniquities, that the chastisement of our peace would be put on him. And after he died, he laid down his life He paid the price. It was finished. Then he was buried. He stayed in that tomb for 3 days and three nights. And on that third day, he rose again. And he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days. We've looked at all those different accounts that we have record of. We looked even back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he kind of outlines several of those events where Jesus appeared. But I want you to get this. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, if you'll study all of those different accounts of Jesus appearing, he did this. He foreshadowed, he promised that he was going to give the power of his Spirit, and he gave them the commands to follow me. And really, if you just look at it, it's to follow him and be fishers of men. What did he say? I'm going to give you power, and you'll be witnesses unto me. He told Peter, follow me. Don't worry about what John's going to do. You follow me. And what did he tell him along the way? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. The whole point was to go make disciples. Baptize them and teach them to observe all things that he commanded. Go be disciples. Keep following me, being disciples, and make disciples. That was his mission in his life. That's what he taught his disciples to do by his life. And that's what he continued to teach them before he ascended into heaven. That was the business he gave them to do. Go make disciples. Do you know what our business is to do now? Yeah. Follow Jesus.
Amen.
And make disciples.
Amen.
That's it. Just that simple. Let's stand together. We're going to finish out our service tonight with a song. And I love looking to the scriptures at these many infallible proofs. We only talked about one who was martyred, Peter, who would die many years later for his faith. But he would stay faithful to Jesus. He would never deny him again. He would not recant that he had seen the risen Savior, and he would be willing to give his very life for that fact, for that truth, because he saw him and because he knew him. And friend, we don't get to see Jesus. Remember what he said? We studied last time. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's you. We don't get to see Jesus with these eyes, but we see him by faith. We see him in the scriptures, and you're blessed with forgiveness. You're blessed with justification. You're blessed with the righteousness of Christ. You're blessed with eternal life and a place in the kingdom of God forever when you believe in him. And you haven't seen, but you know that he died for you and rose again. So I pray your faith is in him tonight. Let's pray and then we'll sing. Father, thank you for the time and your word. I pray that you'll help us to know you and make you known. Lord, help us to follow you and to be disciples who are making disciples for your glory, to do the work that you left your disciples to do before you ascended up into heaven. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that convicts us, that guides us into all truth and teaches us. And Lord, thank you for the power that you give us by the Spirit to do the work. And we pray that you help us to be faithful and obedient now, responding in faith and obedience. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.